up, sports fans, and welcome back to Low Expectations, the Gruter Golf Podcast, brought to you by the No Laying Up Podcast Network. Tonight, you've got Haley.
Hello.
Kiki.
Hey.
And me, Jen. And I've recently been rethinking that, actually. Should we, like, do we like the camber of the intros, or...
I think we could probably switch it up.
Yeah, I could use a revamp.
Like, I could do, like... What's up, Kiki? And then you could be like, you could do a little catchphrase, maybe? Everyone thinks of a catchphrase?
Okay.
Let's like, workshop it a bit. I don't want any surprises.
What's up? You know, like, well, like not that. No one can do that one. But
do
like
you, want, us, do you want us to have like an equally as embarrassing thing as some
kind of, yeah. I feel like
today.
I am really like laying down on the tracks here. And just sacrificing myself to the art. Yeah, and I was like, what's up? You know, well, you guys sound like cool and like, you know, like, cute and fun.
What do you sound like? What do you do?
An idiot, I think. But that's, you know, hey.
Heavy wears the crown, Jen. Is that the same?
Yeah.
Heavy is the crown?
It's something along those lines. Heavy hangs the head that wears the crown.
I think that's the full.
I don't know.
It's lonely at the top. Anyway, if you have any input, you know, feel free to weigh in somehow. Email, DM, whatever. Tell us about the intro. What do you think? Maybe suggest some catchphrases for the girls. I think that might be fun.
I like that.
So, housekeeping. Kiki is right now sporting our brand new Champion Reverse Weave Crew Necks. The most beautiful shade of green, honestly, that I can possibly imagine. Having said that, my wall is pretty close to that. I sit in this room all the time. They're really cool, though.
They're so
high
sick.
Quality, super luxe. They're going to sell out pretty soon, so head to grutergolf.com, grab yourself one, maybe grab an extra for, you know, your friend.
Great Father's Day gift. I know a lot of girls bought
them
before Mother's Day.
Great gift item. That's what I gave. Yeah. So, yeah, grab one of those. And also, we are about 6 weeks away already from Margaritas and Mulligans in Washington, D.C. At East Potomac. Which I've heard a lot of great things about. Apparently airplanes fly really close to it, so you can like watch them from close up. Which, have you guys ever seen an airplane like flying close up, like over your head?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see it that often, but whenever I do, I'm like, that's a bigger plane. Planes are bigger than I thought. Mm-hmm. Bigger than you realize when you're on them.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I don't know how often, an airport and the proximity to an airport is advertised as a positive.
Oh, well, I think it'll be pretty cool. You'll get to check them out. Like, have you guys, okay, Winthrop is like right.
Okay.
I thought that was a selling point. You know, for people who are into, I feel like in DC, a lot of people are into like, you know, I mean, engineering. That's a segue into kind of the episode today. You know, I think it'd be a selling point to Maju.
When people think DC, yes, they think engineering,
like, you know, the army and like the military and stuff and all those
politics,
scientists.
Air Force One is really popular.
No, with the politics comes, you know, all the technologies. I haven't been to DC in quite some time. Actually, this would be a redemption. The last time that I was in Washington, D.C., I was staying with my friend Nikki G, shout out, and she lived with these three boys, and one of them kicked me out of the house.
What'd you do?
Literally kicked me to the curb.
What did you do?
Well, it was like probably 2 years after we graduated from college.
Uh-oh.
No, it honestly wasn't really my fault. And you know,
was coming.
It really wasn't my fault. No, you know whose fault it was. Some of our listeners will recognize this name, Alex Vigos, Kirsten's ex-boyfriend from college. It was his fault that I got kicked out because I don't know. We were all hanging out and we were like, you know, cutting through their house, you know, and they were playing video, like her three like dork roommates were playing video games. There was one girl in the room and Vigos like said something rude, like, oh, is whoever wins the video game going to get to make out with the girl or something? Like, it was really dumb, but like, one of the boys who I will say had braces got very defensive and he screamed at not me and not Svigos. He screamed at Nicole, who, you know, had done really nothing. She was truly innocent in this. This wasn't even her friend. So then when he yelled at her, I was like, hey, first of all, You guys have her paying the same amount of rent as you, and she's in a little closet. No, she was in an actual closet.
We're getting into the weeds here.
Okay, well, anyway, I got kicked out, and then I snuck in at night to sleep on the couch, and he woke me up at like 7 a.m. I was like, Jen, you need to get out. And I literally had to sit on the stoop.
The boy with the braces kicked you out?
Yes, literally kicked me out of the home because I had come home after them. And I thought I had secured another place to sleep. I hadn't. So I was like, I got to just go back there, I guess. And so I went back. And I was wearing this like a black jumpsuit or something. And this was in the early days of jumpsuits too. So
chic.
This is getting what you're trying so to get. But there was, yeah, it was pretty chic. And there was one boy that lived in the basement and his light was on. So I rapped on the window and I was like, will you let me in? And he was equally at fault because he was like, how'd you get in here? I was like, I can't tell you. And then he kicked me the curb, anyway. And I just had to wait for Nicole to wake up. And then she was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I mean, I am too, you know. But so, okay, yeah, I've been in DC since. So I'm excited.
Round. It's going to be, you know, we won't kick you out. I will vow now to not kick you out of.
If Renee kicks wherever, me out.
Yeah. Actually could happen.
But it will be really fun. Margaritas and Mulligans are so fun.
It's on the table.
I'm going to be on best behavior.
Okay.
I will be. Anyway, so that's coming up on June 25th. It's also going to be in the morning. So
yeah. New
for 9 a.m. 9 a.m. start.
And the same weekend as the KPMG Women's PGA Championship.
Yeah. So it's actually good because we were talking about this, I think, on another episode, but we're done with the playing relatively early and then we get to watch the tournament in the afternoon.
We get to do a party first and then we keep partying and watch.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we're going on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will it's be, I'm great. Really, really so excited. I might get a little greedy, try to go Friday.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to being media.
It's fun.
Being media.
Getting the scoop. Totally but yeah, no, I'm really, really excited for that. I'm excited for, you know, major season in general. We've got the U.S. Women's Open coming up in a couple of weekends. Kiki's going to be repping down there.
Oh, yeah.
Southern Pines. Is it Southern Pines? Mid Pines? Mid Pines. Southern Hills is the PGA championship this weekend, and it's Mid Pines.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. It gets confusing. We've got lately, you know, with all the mid-ams that we spoke about with Sue last week, you know, mid, upper, southern, all these directions. Anyway, the one other thing that I wanted to address is that we have applied yet again to get a blue check. And what I've heard is the secret sauce is that you must have 10,000 followers. Right now we are 400 shy. And that's after a long, hard road, honestly, of trying desperately. Never selling out, never buying any of them. I mean,
I was gonna say, Jen, I don't even know if I would describe it as trying desperately because we've from the very beginning of Guru Golf have always maintained that we've prioritized organic growth over anything else. So we have not ever bought bots. We don't care about the viral reposts. You know, we've been posted by all the shitty golf dude sites that I don't even want to name. And we don't want them. We don't want their followers.
Yeah,
we don't. So I don't even think that we've been that desperate. I think that we've been steady buddies.
Steady buddies. And that's what we'll continue to be. So tell your friends to follow us, but only if they're going to be highly engaged. If they're bots, don't tell them. All 100% genuine, authentic, whatever. I almost said American beef. Oh boy. So is there anything else that we should tell before?
No, it's a great episode.
Maju gets on. So I think it's laughs. Really, really so awesome. Yeah, we actually do the intro in front of her face because she's okay with that. So you'll find out in a moment. I think that all questions are answered about how she made it to the podcast and everything and who she is and how she is friends with Gruder Golf. So without further ado, you're really going to love this one. Maria Juliana Losa, a.k.a. Maju. Here it is. Enjoy. Everybody, tonight we have with us Maria Juliana Losa, who is my newest friend from the Chevron Classic. Actually, I think I talked about you already on the podcast, hanging out. And so she just wrapped up. Actually, we have some questions about technically whether you're still at Callaway or not. But when I met her, she was right in between being a ball engineer at Callaway and continuing a career as a caddy on the LPGA tour for Sandra Gall. So I kind of met you at like a crossroads of sorts. And I was just like, this chick is really cool. And then we had a really fun time walking around the tournament together, watching some of the golf, and you had a lot of great insights on the LPGA. I can tell you're a real, like, just a wealth of knowledge. A lot of things that I just did not know at all. So had to have you on the pod, basically. That was just off the cuff, too. I didn't even prepare that yet.
I love it.
Very nice.
And she's very cool, very fun. Colombian golfer. I think you're the first Colombian we've had in the pod, so welcome.
You have to have Maria Uribe.
Okay.
She's the actual Colombian badass golfer, not me.
But. Well, you're also a badass golfer, though, too, from the research that I've done. But we'll get into that a little bit, your college career and whatnot. So, officially, yeah. Maria, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. Yeah, we're so excited to have you. So before we get into too many questions, we have heard a lot about Jen's perspective of you guys meeting and the fun time that she referenced at the Chevron. So just wanted to kind of hear what you thought of what Jen was doing out there and your interpretation of your fun time.
So I thought it was awesome, first of all. I think what you girls are doing is really fun. It's different in golf. The one place I play golf nowadays, it's Goat Hill Park at Oceanside, California, and they're doing it just different either. And so I love it. I think it's fresh, it's new. And funny enough, actually, I showed up and I'm good friends with Jen Turk, who used to be at Callaway also. Shout out. Jen was bringing something for Jen. And I said, whenever you find her and give it to her, please introduce me. I want an introduction. So I was pretty pumped to meet you.
Oh my god.
I think it was awesome. Yeah.
Wow.
So I was right, guys. It was true. That day was so much fun.
I'm sorry we doubted you, Jen.
No, I didn't doubt you. It's just always funny to hear the other side.
Well, that was when I bought the magic bracelet at the coffee shop in the morning.
Oh. That's right.
The bracelet with the beads that was for magic. And honestly, I had a magical day. So always buy
that
bracelet.
That place is awesome, though. Like,
so cool.
It's like the view with the mountains in the back, everything. Like, I went just for the day. I told my husband it was my birthday that week. My in-laws were in town. And I said, for my birthday, you're letting me go for one day to watch golf. I love you. Bye.
Love that flipping the script.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's great.
Yeah. And they know how much I love golf, my in-laws too. So they were super happy to know that I had been, and it was fun.
Yeah. Last one at Mission Hills and everything too. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting that you have. So you have a March birthday?
Yes. March 31st.
Okay. I was thinking, one of my questions was, I was wondering if you were a Virgo because of your time management and your kind of like commitment to detail. So just, this is good. This is good to learn, honestly. This is from the interview. From the interview, she was talking about time management. And I was like, that is impressive.
No, I made a face because I'm a Virgo, and I wouldn't necessarily describe myself as having an extreme attention to detail or good time management.
No. I know, like, what's your rising sign and your moon sign? Yeah, you do. I think your time management is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, me too.
From where I'm standing.
I'm going to because this is what I was doing all morning. So this is me. I'm an Aries, and I do this every 2 weeks.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
And I found a store in Manhattan right in front of the New York Library, and I loved it. It was called Miso, I think.
Oh.
Muji.
I love that store.
Muji.
Yeah.
And I just bought this.
Yep.
So I have a new one.
Oh, a little planner. I should get a paper planner, honestly.
I'm a planner nerd. Oh, I'm a paper person. I hate computers.
I love
that. I'm an engineer. But
an engineer that just hates computers. That's amazing. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Actually, we want to hear a little bit about the engineering and the golf.
Yeah.
Because I was very impressed to hear. Because, I mean, when I heard that you were a ball engineer, I was kind of like, I don't know exactly, you know, like, what goes into that. And then when we were reading, we're going to reference this, like, article so many times because we were just like, wow. But you said when you were a sophomore in college that your dream job would be working at Boeing on airplanes. And I was like, that sounds like very high stakes, honestly. I don't think I would want that job personally because I would be nervous about it. But can you tell us a little bit, like, how did you get into engineering? Like, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, so I think growing up as a little girl in Colombia, my grandfather, he was a tinkerer. Like, he grew up like a bit of a crazy child. So the first thing he fell in love with was airplanes. And he got his airplane license before he got a car license. And he would not go to school. He wouldn't anything. They sent him long story, but they sent him to like the coffee plantations almost to fly the airplanes and spray the crops. And so he's always loved airplanes. And when I was a little kid, he had maybe a Piper, like a small airplane. And it was in his farm and he would go tinker with it. And I would always want to go. And it was like, no, you know, the girls don't go there. Like, it's just your dad and like, you know. But I always loved just taking things apart. Like in my house, I was always the one to fix the TV, fix the internet, like, you know. And growing up in Colombia, I was very lucky. In my high school, we did like a aptitude exam, I guess, at the end. And the psychologist talks to you and was like, look, honestly, you're very good at math. Like you have the okay rate of a mechanical engineer, better than someone who already graduated. So I think you should study that.
Yeah.
But I knew I wanted to do golf, and my cousin was playing golf at USC at the time. And she's like, you're crazy. Like, don't do engineering and golf. I don't recommend it. So it was a bit of a conflict there too. It was funny. My dad was like telling the psychologist, like, I mean, no, she wants to play golf. But I decided to do it, and I had guidance. It's weird. I'm just very good with numbers. I don't necessarily, I don't know. I can do magic with numbers, I guess. I don't know.
That's cool. Don't ask me. That's an extremely cool answer, honestly. Because engineering is one of those things that's a little bit of a blind spot for me. Like, I just don't really, I really don't. I get that it's like how things work and everything. And, you know, what you saying, like tinkering and putting things together and fixing things, that makes sense to me. Yeah. And there's so many different types of engineers too. So like, what's like a ball engineer? What sorts of things are you guys looking at in that? Is that too crazy of a question, honestly?
No, not at all. And I know you don't have the visuals, but... I have like a cutout of a ball here.
Ooh, yeah.
So you can kind of see there's different layers, right? Yeah. You can kind of see different colors. I don't have a great one with a lot of colors. Maybe.
Wow, you just have them handy though?
Yeah, they're my desk. So this one's a bit better maybe. So you can see the colors, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so basically a ball engineer, a lot of what we do is materials, looking at materials, right? What materials we use. The ball is made out of a core, a mantle, and a cover, or most balls, right? Some just have a core and a cover. And so looking at what materials you put in each one of those layers and how thick you make them and just how they interact with each other, that's what then gives you like spin separation, basically, which in golf is like with your driver, you want your ball to spin less, right? So it goes farther. Then with your wedges and holding the greens, you want it to spin more, or like a sweet spot spin, so that it holds the green and it spins the way you want it. So that's a lot of what we do. The aerodynamics, which is the dimples outside, or in Callaway, the hex, that part is an aerodynamics engineer. I would work closely with them, but they have PhDs and all of that. They focus on that part for sure.
Wow. Okay. Really giving Bryson a run for his money here on the mad scientist, like golfer scenario, because that's way more information I've ever heard out of him.
So is every golf ball three layers? The core, what did you say? The core, the mantle, and the
mantle
outer?
And cover. So no, so that's a great question. So not necessarily. So kind of like the cheaper balls you buy, most of them they're two layers. So there's a core and a cover, and the cover is made out of Surlyn, which is like more plasticky material, let's say. And so those are a bit cheaper. That material is cheaper, and then kind of like the high performance balls are normally three or more layers. So 3, 4, 5 layers. Normally they're one or two cores, and the cover of those is mostly thermoplastic urethane or a type of that. That's what Callaway used. And so, you see it on the box. It says TPU. That's what it stands for. And so that is a bit of a more of a premium material. And a lot of that is what helps you get the spin around the greens. That material is.
Wow. So interesting. I honestly always wondered what made some balls more expensive. Like, because I'm not good enough to notice really the difference, you know?
Well, I also I understand what you just explained, but to me it's like, how much more is there to engineer out of a golf ball after all this time of making golf ball? Like, how much more innovation or sort of performance can you get out of a golf ball? Is there a tipping point?
That's a great question, honestly. I think, like everything in engineering, right, you have moments in the, like, the history of the ball, let's say, where you make amazing changes and amazing strides, right? And so, like, that's, like, when Titleist did the Balata, like, it was like, whoa. And so after that, you peak, and then you're on kind of, like, on this plateau for a little while. Like, you're making increments, but they're very small, right? Like, you have a great question, right? So we are improving, but it's not like I'm saying, oh, your ball now goes 10 yards further, like maybe like 3 yards, 2 yards. But it's really, you keep pushing every year, because if you don't push, then your competitor is. And yeah, then in 10 years, they're going to be 10 years,
no.
10 yards above.
I understand why individual companies, I'm just saying as an industry at large, is there an ideal ball?
So that's what I'm saying. So that's what I was going to say. So then once you, right, like you kind of keep pushing in that plateau, and then eventually, hopefully 10 years from now, or who knows, right, there's another, like, one of those peaks. And so that's what you keep looking and keep researching, just like new materials. There's always, right, material scientists nowadays is incredible. And so there's always something maybe new that comes out. I think one of the biggest things right now with technology, maybe not for performance per se, but it's like what, like Topgolf is doing, like to be able to track your ball, to be able to get data. I think that's really cool, right? It's maybe not like, oh, it's a better ball, but it's giving you something different. So there's always something to look for, to play with, you know, and things like that.
No,
so
it's very cool.
I would say that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a video of somebody putting an AirTag inside of a golf ball so they'd be able to find it. And honestly, that's technology that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
As well as a lot of people would be.
I was just thinking about Flubber when you were talking about new materials, you know, like, have you ever seen the movie Flubber with Robin Williams? That was a very new material.
I want everyone to remember
basketball
that.
Basketball game?
I want everyone to remember that Jen started this section by saying engineering is a blind spot for her.
All I knew until today was basically Robin Williams and Flubber.
There you go.
But yeah, hey, that's materials, you know, it's sports, engineering. It really, I love that movie also. But it is really weird. Have you watched it recently? I have it on DVD.
Because I haven't watched it recently.
This is a bit of a non sequitur. Yeah, I watched it like 2 years ago or something. I think beginning of the pandemic, maybe.
There you go.
It feels recent.
Do you have a DVD player still?
Yeah, because when Nick moved in, he brought like hundreds of DVDs, and I was kind of like, "Are you ever gonna watch these? Like who watches DVDs anymore?" And then I was like, "He was like, yeah, but I have like every movie, and like you can't always get them on demand." I was like, "Yeah, well, do you have Flubber?" And then he didn't have it, so we ordered it, and then we watched it, and I was like, "This movie is weird. Weird flick."
And here we are.
Like one of the premises was like he's kind of like dating like a robot that he invents. Like a precursor to that movie with
her,
Joaquin Phoenix.
Her.
And then those are his friends and stuff. And he keeps forgetting he's supposed to get married like 3 times. And he really forgets every time. He's like,
we all know the plot.
Okay, anyway.
I have a follow-up question. Are you still working at Callaway now, Maju?
I am not.
You're not?
Officially. No, I said to them, I'm taking a sabbatical. I guess a lot of people have asked, right? So I'm saying it's a self-imposed sabbatical. I guess all of them are. But yes, I don't have a job currently, but luckily they did say they would be happy if there's something for me. They would be happy to have me back. So that at least is a good thing, you know, to leave in good terms.
Yeah, definitely. But now you're on to the LPGA, though, which is a very exciting topic.
Even cooler.
Yeah.
It has been very fun.
Well, yeah, I want to hear about that. So is that part of the sabbatical, is now pursuing a caddying career? Is that can you call it a sabbatical?
Yeah.
If that's the case?
Well, I guess, yeah. So that's why I don't know that per se is a caddy career. Honestly, it's something I always wanted. It is a career for the people who do it and have been doing it for many years. I don't want to take any of that. It's a lot of work, trust me. But I guess for me, it was more that, right? Like, okay, I'm going to take a sabbatical. I married last year. So like, okay, what am I going to do, right? Most people, they go travel. But thank you. But, you know, I just married. I wasn't going to be like, hey, honey, bye. See you in a year. And so this is a way to kind of travel and do something I love at the same time. And then at least I cover my expenses by caddying. So that's why in my way, I'm calling it a sabbatical. It's always, I for some reason I always wanted to do. I was never good enough to play in the LPGA or Symetra or whatever. I never tried, honestly. So I guess, I don't know, but I didn't think I was. I don't have the distance. I had it very short. And so I love people. And so I always thought, you know, caddying would be really cool. A lot of people that went to college, kind of my years, they did go on tour. So I'm lucky to know quite a few people out there. So I always thought, like, you know, it would be really cool to caddy. And so, and I'm pretty intense. So my husband was like, okay, what are you going to do if you're not working? Like, you're going to drive me and the dog crazy. You got to have a plan. So like, well, I would love to caddy. So if I can actually find a job caddying, that's what I would want to do.
Okay.
So that's why I said it. That's my sabbatical.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're brand new to caddying then.
Yeah. So I caddied once last year. I mean, growing up playing golf, you caddy like for your family, friends, you know, during summers, etc. But professionally, I got to caddy last year, actually, for the first time at the Aviara tournament. It was called the Kia Classic back then. A friend of mine that played college with me from France was here. She was trying to get into the Monday Quali. So I said, okay, I'll just go with you. And if you get in, I'll caddy for you. She didn't get into Monday Quali, but we just hanged out. We went to watch Vicky Hurst, who I happen to know. She stayed at my house with her sister when Mariajo Uribe's wedding happened. We hosted them. We went to watch Vicky for a bit, and then we were having lunch with Vicky. And Vicky goes, I have to go to 18. Robbie's making it. And I'm like, what? Wait, my girlfriend's about to make the Monday Quali. I was like, oh, great. So she runs to 18. They come back, and she's like, she made it. And I was like, yay. And so Robbie is this awesome Italian girl. And she goes, well, they had a Symetra event. They play on Symetra right now, like in Beaumont, California, which is like 2 hours away. So yeah. They had the same car, etc. So Robbie goes, well, I guess I need to go rent another car. I need to find a caddy and I need to find a place to stay. And I said, well, I can caddy for you. I can maybe help you find a place to stay and you can go rent your car. And she's like, really? Wow. And I don't know her. I knew Vicky and it was fun. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I'm in. I mean, it's better than working for the week. I'll take the week off. And she took me up on it and was like, okay, you need to go get COVID tested. And I was like, okay, I'll go get COVID tested. And so that was my first experience doing it. It was awesome. She was awesome. I had a lot of fun. Funny story, actually, I think Julia Molinaro was like, Robbie, she's also Italian, and I know Julia actually from college days. She's like, do you want me to find you like a real caddy? And Robbie was like, no, she seems cool. I'll keep her. And so that was my first gig. It was awesome. Funny story, actually, on the way out of the COVID testing, that's when I officially met Sandra.
Sandra Gall.
So that was the first stint. I was working at Callaway full time. I actually don't think I even took the full day, like, week. I think I worked, like, if we had the late tea time, I worked the morning and then I took the like opposite and to make it work, to not spend all my vacation days because I was about to get married.
Sure.
So I should
probably
keep
save
some
those
days for that. But it was awesome. I had a blast. It was a great week. And Aviara's hilly, but I think it's a beautiful golf course. There's a lot of flowers and it was a great week.
Yeah. So yeah. You just mentioned Sandra, who you're caddying for now. So how did you fast forward from running into her after COVID testing to caddying for her this year?
Good question. So this all kind of started in my head in like November. I was like, okay, I want to take a sabbatical. What do I want to do?
Manifesting.
Exactly. And so I started planning. Manifesting, yes, but as you just saw, I'm a big planner.
Yeah, and so, writing down my planner, what am I going to be doing?
Yeah, and so... So I reached out to Sandra, and actually I'll say this, I'm actually caddying both for Sandra Gall and for Caitlin Papp right now. Sandra, since she's coming back from her medical, she has only a few tournaments.
Okay.
So I caddied for her in Hawaii, but then after that, she hasn't played, so I caddied for Caitlin Papp at Palos Verdes, where I got to shower Marina
so
in champagne.
Cool. When I saw you on TV, I was like, oh my God!
It was awesome.
So much excitement.
And then I caddied for her last week at the Founders Cup.
Wow.
But so fast forward. So I wrote to Sandra, honestly, random. I think it was a December day. I wrote to her on Instagram. And funny, because she still laughs at this. I started, like, literally my text to her said, here goes nothing, ... And then my spiel. Because honestly, I never thought in my life Sandra Gal would ever even see this, let alone reply. And in like 3 hours, she actually did.
Wow.
And she actually was like, I'm sorry it took me long to reply. It took me a while to connect the dots of who you were. And I was like, oh my God, she not only replied, like she's saying sorry to me. She's such a great and kind person. And Sandra, I reached out to her, honestly. I had reached out to a few people, people I know, like Marina, Mariajo, a few caddies, just saying, hey, I want to do this. Vicky and Robbie, if you know someone, let me know. If someone that's looking for a caddy, let me know. Mm-hmm. But Sandra, you know, is a very like mindful person, and she talks a lot about energy and life and the universe. And so I thought, you know, if I'm doing this as a sabbatical, why not? This would be a great person. You know, she has a great vibe and she's pretty calm and I'm not. And I was like, that I could learn a thing or two about that. And so it happened. She actually replied and she's like, yeah, let's meet on FaceTime. And that way, you know, I can at least get to meet you and ask you about why you want to do a sabbatical. And then in January, I went to see her in Orlando for 2 days. We played to like really meet each other and, you know, see if I could caddy. And, you know, Sandra is 6 feet tall. I'm like 5'4". So every time I carried the bag, she would laugh. And I was like, you can't keep worrying about me. And she's like, are you sure you're okay? And she would turn to Pernilla because we were playing with Pernilla Lindbergh. She's like, you know, she just came out of an office job. What if she dies on me? And I was like, you know, if you keep worrying about me, like, I won't be able to caddy for you. Yeah, you need to focus on your golf.
Exactly. Oh, my God. That is so funny.
So, yeah.
So what would you call
that's
that?
How it happened.
You playing with her for 2 days, would that be considered the interview?
I guess, yeah, in a way. I guess, honestly, the first time on the FaceTime, I guess that was my interview. I actually told her, I was like, I'm so nervous. Like, I didn't know what to wear. You know, I've had so many job interviews, but like, how do you prep for this one? And she was like, oh, don't be nervous. You know, it's okay. And it's someone that I felt like I could be very open and honest with. And she's the same. And so it was kind of nice. I think the fact that, you know, I shared that kind of right away kind of broke the ice. And so, but yeah, I would say my actual interview. Yeah. Like I actually had to caddy, right? And I was like, I had my garment on and like my heart rate was like so high. I was like, okay, here I am in Orlando playing at like Orlando Country Club with Sandra Gal and Pernilla Lindbergh. Or, well, I wasn't playing, I was caddying, right? But I was like, I mean, is this real? Yeah. Like, what the heck? And so, and Pernilla, I had met with Mariajo one time. I think, I can't remember what tournament, but so she kind of remembered my face. And so that was nice. But I was still like, is this real? Like, am I actually doing this? I guess that was my actual interview.
Yeah. No, I mean, it seems like you kind of just fell right into it as far as it being a natural fit for you and your personality and certainly your experience. But, like, I can't even imagine going in. Like, it's such a different role to play as far as playing golf and then caddying for golf and caddying for a professional golfer. So, like, did you research the role or, like, ask anyone what to do? Like, how did you prepare to even do that? And how do you prepare, I guess, even now for current events?
Yeah, I guess so. To start with all of this, actually at that Aviara tournament that I caddied for Robbie, that was 2020 probably, there was two caddies staying at the house with me. I know them. They're both from Spain. Or Nico, Nico's from Italy, don't kill me, but I'm pretty sure he's from Spain. But I know them. I know Jesus Mosso from Belen Mosso from a while ago. And so Jesus was staying at my house. He brought Nico. And so I had that week, my husband, like me, is a nerd. Like, he's a full on nerd. So that week he asked them more questions than I did. He asked them about how much they made, the greens. Like, every night when they would mark the greens, he was asking, like, so where do you hit it? Like, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. And so I got to learn a lot. And honestly, I asked them for a lot of advice. You know, how do I prep? How do I do this? How do I do that? I think in a way too, since I had played, like, you know, I mean, you know what a player needs, right? And a lot of times I think a good caddy is not just the numbers, a lot is the personality, like, but every player is different. So it's adapting to every player's personality. But then in terms of like, how do you prep before, we have the yardage books, we have the greens books. So you mark the pins in the greens books, you walk the course, maybe before the player arrives even to the course, you go walk it and you mark, okay, where do we want to hit our tee shot? Where do we want to land? Where do we want to miss? Or when do we not want to miss? So you make a bunch of annotations. It's really cool to see people yardage books, how everyone does it a little different, but it's all over. Like, and so that's kind of how you prep, really. Okay. It's like learning the course a lot so that when you are out there and you make a decision fast, you can make that decision fast.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine not having a rangefinder. Like, how hard is it to guess where we can
now.
You are?
We can now.
Oh, no, right.
We can now, actually. Oh, yes. Yeah. So wow. We can now. So I've got it always with the rangefinder. But honestly, a lot of the guys who, or girls, I guess, but caddies who've been doing it for a long time, they like the old school and they still step it. I think maybe they use the rangefinder to double check. But after, at the end, I'll show you, like, I'll bring one of the yardage books because I think I put them in the garage already. But you'll see how much info we have.
Wow.
Like, you cannot use a rangefinder and it's fine. Like,
because, like, you know where the tree is and you know where the, you have, like, little measurements for all the different landmarks. Wow.
Exactly. And actually, so there's a person before the LPGA event, they go and mark the course, like, not just the regular, like, sprinkler heads and all of that. They go with spray paint and they mark it. And so that yardage book they sell you is, like, for the LPGA week. And so there's like the white circle, the white square, the red circle, the red square. And so we have all of that. So there's, I will show you the yardage book. It's like, I love it. Like, I wish when I was playing college, these existed as detailed. I don't think even in college nowadays as detailed as the LPGA. But then there's the greens books too. And this is definitely did not exist when I was playing in college. And I'm like, I'm the biggest nerd. I want to read every green. Like, it's like a heat map for, so yeah. For a mechanical engineer, it's like, it's awesome. So it's really cool.
Those are new things, though, the greens books and the yardage books?
The yardage books, no. I would say the yardage books, maybe to the detail that they get into.
Yeah.
The yardage books, they, like, even when I was playing in college, you would kind of get to the golf course and they would sell it there. But they're very simple yardage books, right? It's the ones that they sell you at the course. And then the greens book, at least when I was playing college, it did not exist. It's now an existing thing. I do believe college players use it. Actually, there's a company called Strakaline. I buy their greens book sometimes. It's a bit cheaper than the LPGA.
Okay.
And I like how they do their heat map. So I do think a lot of colleges, they just pay like a yearly price to Strakaline and then they get for all of their events.
Sure.
Oh, so okay. The greens book, it is... At least not when I was playing. I don't know if when my sister, like, I don't know when, you know, it started existing.
Yeah, I didn't even know, like, where you'd look for that. Maybe I should start looking for those before I play places. Because really, I mean, knowing a course really is half the battle. Like, if you don't know where anything is, like, it's very confusing. It's very disorienting.
I'm picturing Jen, like going out and walking the course before every round.
There you go. Jen, you know what I would recommend? Actually, the LPGA just partnered with a company called Voice Caddy. And okay. So it's like a rangefinder, but in besides like you being able to shoot, it also has like a little screen and it shows you like a golf cart. You know how much golf carts you can click to the bunker?
Yeah.
So this has something like that. And so it's really cool because it has like the little picture of the hole and you can click. And so like it's easier because sometimes with a rangefinder, if you're like trying to hit the bunker and it's flat, it's hard. So you could get a voice caddy.
Yeah, honestly, well, that's kind of Arcos. You know, shout out to one of our GGLC partners. Arcos is like have you heard of that? They have the sensors on the clubs, and a rangefinder app. And actually, this is making sense because I haven't been using that lately. Because I forgot to switch the sensors on my clubs. And then, like, I was all ready to use it when we went to Dominican Republic. Remember, I had it clipped on my belt and I charged it up and everything. And then I got there and I was like, shit, I got new clubs and the sensors are not on there. So this is rendered useless. Without the computer to know, like, where things are going, I should start using
it.
Do they
put it on every club?
Yeah. And then what it does, it's actually, if you use it correctly, I didn't charge it often enough and it would like run out in the middle of the round or whatever. But if you use them correctly, it's supposed to then like learn about your stats. So like you might think for people who, you know, don't have very consistent distances like me, you might think that you like hit your 5-wood, you know, like 180, right? When really you're hitting it 150 usually. So like if you have a shot that's 150, take that out instead. You know, you're not going to overshoot it.
So it will tell you
things
like
that. Yeah, so it can suggest like a club for you, which honestly, it's a pretty snazzy little gig. But yeah, if you don't charge the little fob, you have to keep your phone in your pocket. And that for me, because usually I'm doing, you know, music, I'm taking videos, you know, so anything taking my phone's time and attention away from, you know, its primary goal of entertainment is a no for me. So charging up that load. So shout out to Arcos, everybody.
I'm going to say, I feel you, because every time I get to the course, my loudspeaker is out of battery and I'm mad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
so annoying.
The best is when you get the charger right in the cart, you know? But I do want to talk a little bit about kind of like the LPGA in general. Do you want to go there? Or did you have something else, yeah, Vicky, that you
no no had no in your mind? That was it.
Because sure. I was really intrigued that you said that that Sandra is like very like you know, free spirited and into energies and everything. Because I was looking up her Instagram also in preparation for this, and very fascinating. Like, I get what you're saying. She seems very kind of like almost like, like earthy, crunchy, like cosmic, like a Casey Musgraves kind of vibe on her, you know, kind of just like a little. So how is your dynamic with her? Like, you said that she was like pretty chill and you're pretty high energy, but like, what's any other interesting tidbits you could tell the fans about kind of what it's like to caddy for her?
I call her sensei. Do you guys know what a sensei is?
Yeah, like the
Japanese masters. Karate masters. So she didn't know when I told her, and I kept being like, sensei, what do you think? And she's like, what is sensei? She has what you said. Like, she has a connection to the earth I honestly cannot explain.
Wow.
Like, we were in Hawaii one day, and she's much taller than me, and I had already walked the course. And then she's like, does this hole have water, like, behind the green to the left? And I'm like, can you see it from where you're standing? Like, you know, 6 inches taller than me. She's like, no, I could just feel it. And I was like, sensei.
Wow.
Like, it's impressive how much. So she, right, because you also have like field players and you have technical players. She's very much a field player, and it's incredible how much she feels. And so I like it, you know, I'm learning a lot from that. It's really cool to see. And I like her calmness. Like, my husband's more like that, and it's good to be around them, right? It balances you and it remembers. And the funny thing, though, is I do feel normally at peace at the golf course. She meditates, and she asks me a lot, like, do you meditate? I'm like, no, my husband does. I go to play golf at 6 a.m. when there's no one out. That's my meditation, and I go on my own. And so in the golf course, I can actually calm, because it's the one place I can really quiet my mind. Like, part of me being, this being a sabbatical for me, is I cannot look at my phone for 5-6 hours. It's the best thing in the world. Like, oh, I have to be focused on one thing only. And it's awesome, right? Like, we don't get to do that at work. Like, you got 10 things telling you what to do, where you need to be going. And so I love that part. And I think at the course, then I'm maybe more not like her, but, you know, I can be present. I can be connected. And I love nature. I love earth. And so I think that part helps, right? Like, I love being out in the nature and going for hikes. And I think golf course is some of the prettiest nature you get.
So true.
So you might be biased, and you might have a biased answer for this, but we wanted to know who you think is the best LPGA player to be in a group with, and also who's the worst.
Great facial expression that with that, Kiki. And also, who's the worst? Eyebrows raised.
Are you asking if I'm playing with them, or just like if an actual LPGA player is playing with them?
Either or.
I don't know. Like, say you're caddying, right? You're the caddy in the group. Like, who's going to give like the best dynamic for everybody? Because I feel like that does have an impact.
You know, it's hard. I haven't been caddying for that long. But I'd say like someone who at least interacts, you know, a little bit. We played with Brittany Lang the other day. She was very nice. She's fun and she was very nice. I love Madeline. I'm biased, maybe. I love Madeline, honestly, for everything and everything.
She seems awesome.
Maybe I'm too much of a fangirl. I don't know if she'll ever listen to this. She might laugh, but I think she's awesome. I think she's an amazing player. Her ball striking is awesome. So as a caddy, I'm also loving it, just watching them play. So for me, that's fun if I get paired with someone that has a really great swing and she hits it pure and she can putt too. Yeah. So I'd say maybe her. The worst, I don't know yet. I think there's a lot of players who are very picky about, you know, where you stand, like if you make any noise. And it happens, and, you know, you have to be mindful, but some just go over the top. So I haven't found that one yet, but I'll let you know when I do.
Well, kind of in that same vein. I mean, we were also going to ask if you've heard any gossip, but I don't know what you're comfortable
any
sharing.
Any hot gossip.
The good kind of gossip, though.
I think there's some good gossip on what the pairings at Dow are going to be. Look out for Marina's pairing. Look out for Madeline's pairing. I won't tell you who. I can't spill the beans, but it's going to be fun.
Wow. So how do you hear about that?
Caddies.
The caddies just talk?
Like to gossip. Well, players like to gossip, too.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine.
Likes to gossip. It's honestly...
Everyone likes to gossip.
Imagine, 144 girls traveling every week to the same places. I mean, how much gossip can there be? Just imagine that.
Do you have any caddy friends?
I do. So, Jesus and Nico, and then all the Spanish guys, they're super nice.
Who do they all caddy for?
Super nice. So Jesus is caddying for Alban Valenzuela right now.
Oh, cool.
Nico,
she's doing really
caddying,
well.
Yes, she's been playing well. And Nico's been caddying for Paula Reto, who's been playing really well.
Oh, cool.
Donnie caddies for Aileen Kim.
Wow.
Patrick caddies for Catherine Kirk. These are the Spanish guys I can think about right now. And then, but all the guys are really, really friendly. And they created like a caddy association. Jesus was like, hey, join, you pay like $50 for the year, and then they have an app called Telegram, and so there's like a 100 people in that chat, and they send like the pins and they send info, and then they ask like,
hey, I thought you were gonna say it was gossip. I was like, we gotta get on that.
That one's not gossip. That one, like, no, I think the guys who run it are very serious.
Like, you get the pins and everything. It's I don't really need that.
But it's nice because they're like, hey, I'm looking for a bag for like this week. And then like, oh, I know a player who's looking for a bag. Or they say, hey, I know. So that's really helpful, honestly. That's been really nice. When the tournament ended, Madeline's caddy said, just now Founders was like, hey, anyone going to JFK? And I was like, well, I'm going to Manhattan. And so I was able to catch a ride with him. And they had just finished third. So I wanted to pay him. And he was like, no.
Nice.
I got you. So that was really nice.
Ride with.
And Shane caddied for Mariajo at Rio Olympics. And so I remembered him from then. And he's super nice Irish guy. So yeah, honestly, most of the people I've met is super nice, super fun.
That's so great. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Yeah, it's such a funny like international experience too. And that must be like so interesting. Just like, and it seems like people also like hang out, like the British caddies hang out together. And then like, it's like people that know each other
from
home.
It's very tribal.
You know? Yeah, it's just like so intriguing.
Shane on the ride back, like he was showing me where he was from in Ireland because I've been to Ireland. And so he was like showing me and he was like, oh, I'm from here. And then these other caddies from here. And then these other caddies from here. Like, you know, they all know each other. They all know where they're from. And then he was like, oh, and Leona McGuire lives here. And Leona Scotty lives here. So, like, that was really cool, actually. Yeah.
That's really so funny. I love that. It seems like a really fun, fun situation from what I could tell. I loved it.
Yeah.
So we wanted to actually maybe do like a little bit of rapid fire too, to like finish off, on kind of just like players and, who you're watching, who you like to watch, etc. I think actually a good way to kick it off though, who do you think, if you had a pick right now, who do you think is definitely gonna be top five at the US Open?
Ooh. Okay.
It's coming up.
So one of my good friends made it. Her name's Daniela Arquea. And if she makes a top five, I'm going to go nuts. So let's say Danny's going to get a top five. Yes.
Definitely. Wow. Amazing. That would be very exciting, honestly. Are you, is anybody that you're on a bag for going to go to do any more qualifiers or is that, are those over by now? Or like how long do those go up to? Like,
they go every week, every single week. So there's a reshuffle just happened, right? So and then there will be another reshuffle, I think, later in the year. So, like, if you get through the Mondays, like, let's say you're playing Symetra or you're not even Symetra, and you get in through the Mondays and play well, like, now in that reshuffle, it helps. So, let's say Andrea Lee, although she got into PV as a invite, but she finished top 10, so she got to play Founders. Oh. And then she had finished top 12 in Hawaii. And so, with that, she's now, like, really good. So now she's going to get into all tournaments. So it helps to do the Mondays if then you have a good week. I think Brianna Doe in Hawaii, she got into the Monday quali and then she was very close to finishing a top 10. And if you finish a top 10, you get to play the next week.
Wow. That's
crazy.
So
she finished, I think, 12, 13. So she didn't, but you know it. So Mondays, that's why a lot of people do them. It's a good opportunity. So they happen almost every week. I think they just don't happen during the majors, but every other normal event, they do happen. Wow. But hopefully, I don't know, with maybe with Sandra, her status is not the best right now. So maybe we'll play some more. Maybe not. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's exciting either way, really. And wanted to go through some of the winners too, because it's been a pretty exciting season of winning. Can you tell us a little bit about being there for Marina to win? I know that she's a friend of yours, a friend of ours. We were pumped to watch that. And you were right there on TV spraying her champagne.
Yeah. It was honestly one of the best weeks ever. I got there, and then on Wednesday, I see on Instagram or something that, you know, the soccer legends are there playing the pro-am. And I'm literally freaking out. Like, yeah. I'm on the range. I was caddying for Caitlin. Caitlin's hitting balls. Mel Rita's to the side. I'm like, Mel, you know your women's soccer all right, right? And she's like, yeah, mate, why? And I was like, you know Mia Hamm and Abby Wambach are here today? And she's like, get out. And I was like, no, look, like, I swear. And she's like, oh, my God. And Caitlin was also, she got excited. She's like, what? They're here? And I was like, oh, my God. So I said, I'm going to go find them after I'm done caddy, doing my caddy job, right? And so we go putt this. And while she was putting, I went to the pro shop and I asked, hey, can I see the tee sheet? And they're like, what pro are you looking for? I was like, no, no, no pros. Show me where the soccer ladies are at. And so I see, and they were playing the front nine with Lydia and then the back nine with Marina. And I'm like, yes. So I text Marina. I'm like, I just saw you're playing with the soccer badass ladies. I don't know what to call them. And so she was like, yes. And I was like, can I come out and watch? Like, I'm coming to watch. And she's like, yeah, come out and hang along. So I went, I arrived to 13. This horse is super hilly and it was the farthest I could go, but I didn't care. I was like, these people are legends. I mean, it was Abby Wambach, Mia Hamm, Jules Fowdy, and Dries Venturini. Like, all of them have won Olympic gold, have won World Cups, like, and so I show up and I literally just came and I told them, I was like, hey, sorry, I'm just literally fangirling, like, hope you don't mind, I'm here watching. And they were so nice, like, such nice people. A couple of them were wearing the Angel City FC football club hats. So I asked them, like, oh, what do you guys do with the ACFC? And one joked, I think Mia Hamm joked, she's like, oh, Julie's like the president of the fan club. I was like, oh, cool. And she's like, no, we're owners. I was like, oh, sweet.
Oh, we just own it.
Also cool.
Yeah, Julie is now like a commentator, and she was super fun. Like, she looked like if she had a few drinks, but I don't think she had. She's just that fun of a person.
Wow.
And so then she tells me, like, oh, yeah, it's our home opener this Friday. And I was like, what? What time? She's like, 7:30. She's like, oh, I'm going to go find tickets. And she's like, no, I'll find you tickets. Like, you want to go? I was like, of course. Like, so I give her my number, thinking she's never going to reply. Next day, she replies. She actually had first said, oh, sorry, my friend already gave the ticket away. I said, oh, no worries, I'll buy one. And then later that day, she goes, I have a ticket. Do you still want it? I was like, yes.
I have chills.
So then Marina is like, are you going to the game? I was like, yes, I'm going to the game. I get the ticket. The ticket says director's box, seat number 3. And I was like,
what?
Yes. I was like, so Marina's like, are you going to the game? I was like, yes, I'm going to the game. And I'm at the game. I, like, when she texted me this and I sent her a picture, there was like Jennifer Garner on the screen. She was sitting like somewhere close. I didn't get to actually see her in person. I saw her on the screen. But I was like, this is surreal. Wow. And we go down. I go down and I'm talking about me, not about Marina, but okay, whatever. I'll get to Marina. But I go down to get food.
This is better.
I get to get food. And like, so whoever invited me was actually other owners. They had met Julie the night before at the party, like owner party. And they had said one of their kids couldn't come. They came from San Francisco just to watch the game. And one of their boys couldn't come. So I came in as Finn. I was Finn. And they were lovely, like super nice family. She's an Italian nutritionist. They live in San Francisco. Super nice people. And they took me down like at halftime or something to get food. And
you truly were their son for the day.
You know? Yes. They gave me the thing. They're like, yeah, you can be Finn for the day. And I go down and they seem like I passed Tish and she's like, you came. And I'm like, oh my God, they remember me. And then down there is Mia Hamm and Jules Fowdy, and they're both like, you came. And they give me the biggest hug. And I'm like, I'm going to die today.
You're famous.
Like, I'm going to die today. Mia Hamm
remembered who I was and gave me a hug. Like, oh my God.
Oh my, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
This was already, like, for me, it was already, like, you know, too good of a week.
Yeah.
And then when they see me, they say, oh, and Julie says, I've been watching, you know, our girls are doing good. Lydia and Marina are up there. They're doing good. And so it's like, sweet, they're watching.
That's so awesome.
Then Marina freaking goes and top it off. And like, it was literally Marina on 18. We were waiting to see if Lydia would hold up. Like, Marina and Lydia, I'm like, I mean, could it have been better?
Yeah.
I went nuts.
So wild.
I went nuts. I texted Julie Fowdy. I was like, hey, your girl Marina just won. Here's her number. In case you want to congratulate her.
Oh, oh my God.
And she did. And she sent me a screenshot of what she sent. She'd sent with all of them in the text to Marina, a group text saying congratulations, like amazing people.
Oh
like,
my
best
God.
Best people I have met in my life. Like, wow. And then it was just beautiful. Like, for Marina to win,
beautiful.
Like, I got so excited. Like, you know, I don't know. It was a perfect week, a perfect full circle. Like, when I was walking with her in the pro-am, I was talking, like, can you imagine being, like, in a soccer team with these people? Like, how much energy? Like, they had such a good vibe. Like, you just start the week off right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I really have chills.
I do, too. That's such a lovely story. And honestly,
it was awesome.
Deserves to be heard. Everyone should know that story.
Yeah.
Does that experience?
Like, making things happen.
Yeah.
I feel like you, like, really are the creator of your own destiny. I don't know if, like, you've heard that lately, but, like, you know, just DMing Sandra, like, you know, like, getting on her back. Like, just be like, where's the T-sheet? I'm going to go find them. Like, getting the invite to the game that night. Like, what? Like, that's
being,
wild.
Being Finn for a day.
Yeah, being a young son
of
the owners.
I got a picture with Alexis Ohanian that day. Serena was there.
Okay,
but I got
stop
a picture
it.
With Alex. I went down to the field. They took me to the. It was like the best soccer match I've been to.
What?
In my life. I'm gonna show it to you.
So
I have proof.
Insane.
Oh my God. I have proof. I have
you
proof.
Need to text that to me too, so we can put that on the Instagram.
I literally.
Yeah, the picture of you and Alexis O'Hanian. Like,
it's going right up tonight.
It's like, honestly, I was like, so I'm a big fan of your wife. So I guess hence you two. And
yeah.
He's like,
Haley's a big fan of Alexis O'Hanian.
What about Olympia?
I am too.
What about Olympia?
I am too.
You know? And I was like, okay, Olympia's really cool.
She's really
cool.
Funny.
Oh my goodness.
I think there's
wow.
A lot of like,
that is
it
awesome.
Was awesome. And he was like, oh, I want Olympia to play golf. And I was like,
oh my God, she should. Oh my God, she should. And
I have chills.
Should help
I
her.
Would die. Can we teach her? Can we find a
yes.
Way?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We need
wow.
To get Olympia O'Hanian.
Okay, if anyone can do it, it's
that's
you.
That's
the next branch of Gooder
Golf.
Can
you connect us in a text? Ask Julie to give you Alexis's number.
Oh my God.
Yes. You might as well try. Honestly, you're riding a hot streak right now.
Third time's a charm.
Like, hey, Alexis had told me to text him, but I lost his number. Could you send it to me? He wanted to invest in Gruder Golf, and he is a big proponent of women's sports, though.
He
and,
is.
Like, I
yes.
Think very,
he's huge.
In a very, like, intellectual way, and, like, he just seems like a real stand-up
loves,
guy.
Yeah.
So he might
I
be
feel
interested.
Like he would really, really love for all of us to be able to take a sabbatical and work on Gruder Golf full-time.
Exactly. Yeah,
he
like
would.
Maybe live at their house
so.
And live with them and teach Olympia
I mean,
golf in exchange for
exactly.
An investment in our company. We terrible golfers will teach your daughter who has the like propensity to be a superstar probably. We'll ruin her from the get-go.
No worries. We can convince Marina to come give her lessons and we're just the entourage.
Definitely, definitely. Exactly, yeah, we'll
true.
Be like
Marina
girls.
Will come give her lessons and then
yeah, we'll have like Sandra can be like her mental coach.
Perfect.
You know, we can just like, we'll be the managers. We'll gather the team.
Yep.
For
we're
Olympia.
All the Kris
Jenners this.
For her.
Yeah, we'll Kris
we're,
Jenner
you know.
The shit out of her. I can't wait.
Daydreaming. I like daydreaming. This is fun.
You're good at it, though, too. Like,
I know. You're an inspiration.
Once you said Alexis O'Hanian, I was like, oh my goodness, I got a plan for him.
Bets are off.
I've got to start planning.
I gotta start making bigger plans, I think.
So, my sister's fiance actually asked her, was like, how does Mahu get into all of this? And I said, tell Dane, that's always been my secret power. I can get into anything. I sat in the Olympics in Rio behind Marta Coroli, besides Gabby Douglas, and have a picture with Gabby Douglas while Simone Biles and Ali Reisman.
Oh yeah, Ali Reisman.
We're doing the floor final. I got to watch it sitting behind their coach in Rio.
Wait, what?
I left my family. They were in a nice place.
I'm recognizing the theme of just leaving your family behind.
My sister was a common thread. So I said, sorry, I love you. Sorry, I'm going to go on my own.
Oh my God.
And then the best one, that same Olympics, when Allison Felix 100 or 200 meter sprint, I went and sat where the athletes sit besides the people who had her flag. The Bahamas girl jumped and she won. And I was so mad. I was like, Allison Felix is going to come right beside me to pick up the flag. Why did she jump?
Wait, no, but how were you with all the athletes?
Yeah, how?
Okay, one of my friends was playing the Olympics and I had a family pass.
Okay.
I might have pushed it a little farther.
So they didn't know whose family you were. You just...
Yeah, just blended right
in. That's amazing. Oh my God.
That is so good.
I want to go to the next Olympics really badly.
I love
I need
you,
to make
Christine.
It to
if you ever hear this, this is how I used the family pass.
you got your money's worth.
Yeah.
You used it better than anybody else, probably.
Yeah.
I used to live in Brazil, so I felt that, you know, I could do it in Brazil. Tokyo, I was like, no, I'll have to follow the rules. But Brazil, it was fun.
Pretty legit.
Wow.
Wow. I'm like, cracking up, my face hurts.
My face hurts, my stomach hurts.
No,
you have to apologize for that. That's a great problem to have. I think we should just end it there, honestly. That's that's unbelievable. That's you're magic.
You are magic. Yeah. I can't wait to meet you in real life.
Maju Magic.
Maju Magic.
Yeah. Wow. That could be the name. That could be the title.
That's the title right there. Oh, actually, before we finish off, too, any favorite songs that you have recently? I haven't turned this to the guest lately. I've just been kind of winging it, and then I'm left. And that's usually my writer's block right before I publish.
Can I give you a Latin song, though?
Yes, definitely. I would love that.
Okay, so there's a song called Currambera. Currambera. And it's actually a song that Carlos Vives, who's a Colombian writer and artist, he wrote for Shakira's birthday. Yes.
That sounds like a banging song. I got it right here.
It is awesome.
It's going to take us out.
I love that song.
Maju, cannot thank you enough for coming on. This was well worth the wait. Sorry that we were sick last week, but this was awesome. I've been so excited to have you on and really just excited to stay in touch and see what we can make happen here.
Yeah.
Excited
for you. Hopefully
KPMG. I mean, if you're going to be at the U.S. Women's Open, Kiki's going to be there too.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so. I have a call at soon. Shit.
Oh, geez. You got to go. You got to go to the U.S.
I have a call in five. No. Oh, my God. Yeah, in 5 minutes. Oh, I'm a possible player.
Oh, my. Can you tell us who it is?
All right, it's an amateur. She's from New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. New Jersey. I know who it is.
Amy. Oh, I don't know how to say her name. Marina texted me today. She plays at Yale and she made it and she needs a caddy.
Oh, so my God. Cool.
You're both nerds, so maybe you'll get along.
Oh, that's amateur too.
I'm gonna talk
that's
to her
exciting.
And see if maybe I. So if I'm there, give them my phone number so you can.
I'll put everybody in text.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're there or if I get to go, I'm probably even going just to watch Annika and Daniela play. Anyway, but if not, if I'm caddying, then I can get you in things too.
Amazing.
Well, you have a media pass. You can get into it.
Nice media pass. But it's cool. No, it's cool to have friends, though. You know what I mean? Like, otherwise, you just look like a weirdo creeping around by yourself.
I mean,
like, it's very clutch to have people with you.
Trying to speak from experience.
Anyway, Maju, All the best to you. This was amazing.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening. Hope you had as much fun as we did. You can find Maju at Majulosa on Instagram. And we'll also put up the picture of her and Alexis Ohanian, so you can find her there too.
Yes.
Okay. So till we meet again, hang loose, swing easy, and we will see you out there.
Recuerdo la mañana que te vi pasar por la calle del Prado para el colegio, cantando en el nirvana de tu soledad. Me parecía llamar tu pelo al viento. Se confunde.